Alrighty. Shabbat Shalom again to everybody here and everybody who will hear this message later. We are here at getting ready to go into our last week of the Hayahad Bible program on the Sea of Galilee. Had another wonderful year, wonderful group, learning a lot of good things, and we will be giving a message today. Yahweh willing, we're going to start sometime in January, that we're going to be doing once a month, a pretty much like we do at the feast, like a almost live service around the world to the brethren, so that brethren that are in diaspora and brethren that have small congregations will be able to at least get a message from Jerusalem once a month. So it's a good idea, and we'll be doing that. Today I'm going to go over a message that I started to work on before Sukkot, and I think it's a great message for us being over here, and it's called Choices. The name of the message is Choices. And in life, we have hundreds of choices every single day. We talked about this somewhat in our class, one of our classes. You know, every single day we have hundreds of choices. Everything from what job we're going to work, to what people we're going to associate with, to which books we're going to read, to which television we watch. And, you know, as we're starting to see here, every decision you make in life, every choice you make, does two things. It either draws you closer to the kingdom or more away from the kingdom. And I think we're able to see this in the big picture, you know, when we're looking at big pictures of things, but I don't know if we're realizing it in the smaller picture. But, you know, the Bible says he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. And, you know, the Bible also talks about taking every thought into captivity. So we want to start getting to the point, if we really want to become that complete believer, that we want to start thinking not only in the big picture, but in the small picture, every decision we're making, you know, is it something bringing us toward the kingdom or something that's bringing us away from the kingdom? Psalm 119, I've mentioned this verse quite a bit while we're here, but I'll mention it again here, 105. Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's even a real nice song just out of this verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. And that's why I say the Torah is a lamp to our feet. You know, what does your feet do? Your feet are the part of your body that gives direction. Wherever your feet move, that's where you're going. You know, can your feet go in one direction and you go in the other direction? You know, not unless you are hit by a car or something, you know, but it doesn't happen that way. Wherever your feet go, your feet is the, you know, the direction you go in. And the Torah, his word, the Torah is a lamp to my feet. The Torah is the lamp to my feet to help with making those decisions. You know, so like I said, it's, you know, and I praise the Father for the blessing of everybody here. And like I say, you come out of the Western society and you come here even for a short period, like a month or 5-6 weeks, and you really start to see how ludicrous it is to think that everybody knows that, you know, we're sinners. You know, every Christian in the world knows they're a sinner, or they wouldn't accept the blood of Yeshua. You know, they use the name Jesus. But yet somehow we think that now when that blood has covered your sins, that now somehow sin is pleasing to our Father. And it really, when you think about it, it's the most absurd, ludicrous thing in the world to think about that. And but the Torah, that's what it's there for. Because what happens? You know, we come out of that water of baptism, we have the hands laid on us, we get the Holy Spirit, and we're a new creation. But now you have to live the rest of your life. You know, the kingdom doesn't come the day after you're baptized. And you're going to have to live so many days in this fleshly body. And you still have your human nature that's going to be telling you every day these evil things to do. And you have Satan, the devil, and you have the world around you. So how do you make these decisions? You know, now in your heart, you want to do the right thing, but how do you do that? How do you make these choices? And that's where the Torah comes in. The Torah is a lamp to your feet. The Torah is there to teach us, because no matter what it is in your life, the Torah tells us how to do it. It tells us how to love Yahweh with all our heart, mind, and soul, and how to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's why I said we need no justification on, you know, why I wear tassels or why I don't eat pork or anything. Yahweh's word says it. You know, and that's what it is, and I believe it in faith. I believe every word out of the mouth of Yahweh is in faith, and that's the simple fact of it, you know, when we come under covenant relationships. But, you know, in this life, these choices that you're going to make, it goes a lot deeper. And I was saying, if you look at rich men of the world, you look at your Donald Trumps and your Steve Wynns and these different people, you know, the reason why they're successfully, financially successful is they're keeping laws of Torah without even knowing it. You look at Mennonites and you look at Amish people that have very strong families, you know, and they're not Sabbath keepers or whatever. Yet they have stronger families than more people have ever seen in the world. Why? Because their whole focus is on that part of Torah. It's on the part of Torah of the roles of men and women and modesty and all these things, and they're being blessed for it. So the key that you have to realize is, whether you're a believer or not, you know, whether you're a covenant person or not, every choice you make in life is going to put you toward a position of blessing or cursing. Absolutely everything. That there's a cause and effect for every single thing we do. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Read a little bit about this. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read 1 through 14. These are all the blessings that Yahweh says for keeping the Torah. I chuckle every time I hear churches will go to Deuteronomy 28 and use this toward America or another nation, when clearly this is about Israel. It's about the land of Israel and the covenant people being here in the land. And look what it says. If you shall listen carefully to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, taking heed to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, Yahweh your Elohim shall set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you will listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And I say to people, when it comes to the Torah, you know, you can go throughout the whole Bible, whether it's the Tanakh or the Brit Hadashah, you will only find blessings for obedience. You will never find someone being cursed for being obedient. Cursings only come for disobedience, as we're going to see. So I ask people, do you have too many blessings in your life? Which one of us has so many blessings that we're ready to give some up? Of course not. Satan's world, you can never have enough blessings. So why on earth wouldn't I want to do His commandments and His statutes and His judgments when everyone brings a blessing? You know, do we have too many blessings in our life? In verse 3 it says, you shall be blessed in the city, and you shall be blessed in the field. The fruit of your body shall be blessed, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, the offspring of your oxen, and the young ones of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough shall be blessed. You shall be blessed when you come in. You shall be blessed when you go out. Yahweh shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven other ways. And we talked about this in another message, that literally when you're obedient to Yahweh's Torah, that what happens? People will fear you. They will fear you. Why? Because they see the result of it. You know, when they come after you, they're not just coming after you now. Not only are you a covenant person, you're a child of the Yahweh family. You have His seed, His spirit in you. And you think that Yahweh, the same way we all have physical children, right? Wouldn't you be like a mother lion to protect your children? What do you think Yahweh's like? You don't think Yahweh's going to be the same way? That now somebody that's a child in His family, that He's not going to send all His angels in His full power and might against somebody that comes against you? But again, we see only if we're obedient. Only if we're obedient. They shall come against you from one way and flee before you seven ways. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh shall command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all that you set your hand to do, and He will bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim has given to you. What a blessing that you're here, right? What a blessing that you've been here for Sukkot and now the school. And it's a real blessing to be here. And He does say, though, to the rebellious and disobedient, He will not allow them to step foot in His land. Yahweh shall establish you a holy people for Himself, a set-apart people, as He has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and welcome His ways. So now we see, it's not just about doing, it's about our heart, right? Do we actually do it with joy? Do we do it welcoming? And all the people shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh. All the people will see that you are called by the name of Yahweh. How important is the Father's family name in the end time? Extremely important. Extremely important. Exodus 3:15. This is Yahweh. This is my name. This is my memorial for all generations. And, you know, what does it say in Micah 4? You know, every person will be going after the name of their God, but we will be going after the name of Yahweh, our Elohim. So what a blessing that His name is called on us as family members, and they shall be afraid of you. And Yahweh shall prosper you in goods, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of the ground in your land, which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give you. Yahweh shall open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to you in your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. What did we say before? The borrower is slave to the lender. So that will not happen if we're obedient to Him. And Yahweh shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be only above, and you shall not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I am commanding you today, to be careful to do them. And you shall not turn away from all the words which I am commanding you today, right or left, to go after other Elohim to serve them. So, clearly it's not just believing, but it's doing. You know? I don't say anymore when people say, do you believe in the Sabbath? I don't like to say I believe in the Sabbath. I like to say I keep the Sabbath. Because the demons believe, you know. They believe, but they don't keep. So we want to make sure that we're not just believing, that we're doing. But clearly here we see, all these blessings are what? They're for decisions. They're for decisions. And like I said, you're going to leave here next week, and you're going to have a lot of decisions coming up in your life. And what those decisions are based on, the what you do, what your action is, what your decision is, what choice you make, is going to be whether these blessings come into your life. And that's why we said it's a covenant of faith. But if you believe Yahweh to His word, you know, this is why I was saying kingdom mentality. It's not just a reality, but it's a mentality. And what does Yahweh say? The double-minded man, James 1:8, is unstable in all his ways. If we don't believe these blessings, He says you will get nothing. The person who doubts gets nothing. You know, and if there's one thing I think we've seen here in a month, it's that Yahweh's real. It's that He is true to His word, and we never have to doubt His word. All we have to do is believe. If we believe, He will bring us through it. So there's blessings for good decisions. Decisions we make that are good. And like I said before, you know, when we've had the blessing to go to other nations like Uganda or Kenya or Africa or anywhere that we go to, and people are brand new, and you know, they're saying about what, all the problems that they're having if they start to become a Sabbath keeper or if they have to do this. And like I say, you know, when you live so many years making bad decisions, there's going to be a lot of things that are following you for a long way. Some bad decisions in our life follow us our whole life. They'll never leave. And that's why it's so important, especially in bigger decisions in our life, that we're really thinking about what we're doing. You know, when we're talking about relationships and covenants and all, these are big decisions. And the problem is, in the West, we're so used to not taking accountability for our actions. And what do? We make a decision, we don't like it, we just sweep it under the rug. You know, but life isn't always that easy. And that's why I say we have to realize some of the choices we make in life, good or bad, can follow us the rest of our life. You know, and we want to make sure we're thinking about that when we make these choices. And always, you know, going to the multitude of counsel is wisdom. Always making sure we're doing that and always going back to the Torah. Now let's look at what happens for bad decisions, though. Let's continue down here in verse 15. It says, "And it shall be, if you will not listen to the voice of your Elohim, to take heed to do all His commandments and statutes which I am commanding you today, all these curses shall overtake you. You shall be cursed in the city, and you shall be cursed in the field. Your basket and your kneading trough shall be cursed. The fruit of your body shall be cursed, and the fruit of your land, the offspring of your oxen, and the young ones of your sheep. You shall be cursed when you come in, and you shall be cursed when you go out. Yahweh shall send cursing on you, trouble and rebuke, and all that you set your hand to do, which you will do until you are destroyed, or until you quickly perish, because of the badness of your doings, of which you have forsaken me. Yahweh shall make the plague cling to you until He has consumed you from off the land where you are going to possess it. Yahweh shall strike you with lung disease, and with a fever, and with inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with the mildew. And they shall pursue you until you perish, and your heavens which are over your head shall become bronze, and the earth under your iron. Yahweh shall make the rain of your land to be like dust and ashes. It shall come down on you from the heavens until you are destroyed. Yahweh shall cause you to be stricken before your enemies. You shall go one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a trembling to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your body shall be food to all the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the earth, and there shall be none to cause them to tremble. Yahweh shall strike you with the ulcer of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, of which you cannot be healed. Yahweh shall strike you with madness, and with blindness, and with astonishment of heart. And you shall grope at noonday, as the blind grope in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall always be oppressed and plundered all the days, and there will be no one to save. You shall betroth a wife, and another will lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not use its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, and you shall not eat of it. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before you, and it shall not be given back to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and there will be no one to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to other people, and your eyes shall look and fail for them all the day, and no power shall be in your hand. The fruit of your ground and all its labor shall be eaten by a nation which you do not know, and you shall always be oppressed and crushed, and you shall be maddened because of that which you see with the sight of your eyes. Yahweh will strike you with an evil ulcer on the knees and on the legs, of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot even to your crown. Yahweh shall cause you and your king, whom you shall raise up over you, to go to a nation which you had not known, you and your fathers, and you shall serve other Elohim there of wood and stone. And you shall be an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the people where Yahweh shall send you. So, wow, we really see that there's, like I said, big variation. And what does all this come down to? All these blessings and all these cursings? Simple choices. Simple choices. Be obedient to Yahweh and trust Him. I mean, it's pretty easy in one sense, because He's not telling us to write laws. He's not telling us to figure out conclusions. All He's telling us to do is obey what He already told us works. And you know it works. You know it works 100%. But if we don't obey, what happens? You see the consequences of the actions here. You know, and it's interesting where He talks about going to other lands and serving different deity there of wood and stone. You know, Christianity today has the cross. Islam has the big stone at Mecca. Even the Jewish people bow to a stone at the Wailing Wall every day. And that's what religious spirits do. Religious spirits serve the creation more than the Creator. But we want to make sure that we realize this, you know, that decisions, little decisions you make, because the little decisions build up to big decisions. Little things like saying, you know what? I'm setting a goal here. I'm going to make sure every single day I wake up, I'm going to study my Bible. First thing, for so much time, I'm going to pray for so much time. And this is the way I'm going to start my day. In doing it, little decisions like that that will build up to the bigger decisions. Deuteronomy 30, just turn over a page. And, you know, when you look at a lot of these curses that we see today, you know, like I said, although this scripture with Leviticus 26 is primarily talking about the Israelites in the land of Israel, you can secondarily use it for any people anywhere, because the laws are the same. If we are obedient to Yahweh's Torah, we'll be blessed. If we're not obedient, you know, we're going to suffer the consequences of our action. And the funny part is a lot of people blame Yahweh, you know, that it's His fault when it's our actions that are bringing it, you know. And I say you can't trick Yahweh. You can't do your own thing and think that it's just all going to turn out okay. You know, that's why, like, we talk about certain things like judicial order and these kind of things. And it's very simply, it's just obeying the order that Yahweh set out. You know, you genetically modify food, and what's going to happen? It's not going to work out good. You know, you try to clone an animal, what's going to happen? It's not going to work out good. It's not going to work out good when we go against anything that Yahweh said at creation. Because at creation, what? Everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. And our job, like Adam, is to keep the perfectness of creation. That's what our job is, not to change it. Our job is not to change it, but it's to keep the perfectness that Yahweh do. But yet we have a choice. Love is free choice. You know, like we said in the Bible, whenever you see the submission, it's always voluntarily and willfully. Yahweh will never force us. And we're going to see here, He very much urges us to do the right thing, but He gives us free choice. And that's one of the greatest blessings He gives us. So we said this before. There's really no such thing as freedom in this world. It's a false facade of Babylon. Because none of us can create our own breath. None of us have life inherent of ourselves. Every one of us was created by Yahweh. So we don't have freedom. What we do is we have freedom of choice. We have freedom of choice. We can either choose to serve Satan in Babylon, in world democracy, or we can choose to serve Yahweh and His commandments, His statutes, His judgments. And I'm telling you, maybe 20 years ago, you could kind of mix the two. You could overlap. But in the days we're coming in, you can't. It's coming so clear, this division, this gulf, like in Lazarus and the rich man, there's a great gulf between them. And what is that gulf? It's worldliness. And in the end, what happens? It is very clear. Yahweh's kingdom is here, Satan's kingdom is here, and every single person has to make a choice. And we're at that point. We're at that crossroad that every one of us has to make that choice. I mean, because the children of Israel in the wilderness, every single one died except for two, because they made the wrong choice. Every single one of them. And we're compared to that generation. We're the generation that is seeing Him face to face. We're the generation that He's showing the chariot wheels in the Red Sea, that Noah's Ark is fine. Never before these things happened. He's showing us the proof of His existence. He's given us every single thing to see Him in our life. But now we have to make the choice. And like I said, the wheat and the chaff are being separated. We actually brought with us wheat and chaff we're going to show you that we picked this year, that you can see the difference. And it's really interesting. One of the differences of a wheat and a chaff, the grain, when it gets... They look the same when they're growing, right? You can't tell the difference. But when they come up and they're born, when they're full grown, the wheat will bow over. You know, like giving reverence to the Father. The chaff doesn't. Chaff stays straight up. Chaff doesn't give any. Let me see, Petra. Show it for the camera. The wheat and the tares. You can see the wheat and the tares. And they look very similar. And like I said, until harvest time, you can't tell the difference. I'll pass them around if you want to look. But, you know, we're getting to harvest time, and it's becoming evident. And you have to make choices, because when someone has made them out to be a tare, when somebody says, I don't believe in the deity of Yeshua, or somebody is saying these kind of things, bringing in religious spirits, you have to make choices in your life. And your choices are not only going to affect you, they're going to affect your family, they're going to affect other people around you. So choices we make, it's not only just to us, it's for everybody around us. But let's go to Deuteronomy 30, and let's see what Yahweh says here. Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 10. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 10. He says, For you shall listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to keep His commandments and His statutes which were written in the book of the Torah. For you shall turn back toward Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. For this command which I am commanding you today is not too wonderful for you, nor is it too far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, Who shall go up to the heavens for us? And bring it down to us and cause us to hear it, that we may do it. And it is not beyond the sea that you should say, Who will cross over for us the region beyond the sea and take it for us and cause us to hear it, that we may do it? For the word is very near to you. It's right in your hand, every one of us. Like I said, just a few hundred years ago, you had to go to a synagogue to maybe have one copy of the Torah. But it's not far off. It's right in your hand now. In your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Behold, I've set before you today life and good and death and evil. And that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, and you shall live and multiply, and Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in the land where you're going in to possess it. But if you turn away your heart and you do not listen and you are drawn on, even you will bow down to other deity and serve them, I have declared to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land to which you are crossing the Jordan to go in there to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. Choose life that you and your seed may live. You know, every time I read that, I think right away against abortion. Clearly, choose life that you and your seed may live. Choose life. The Torah is life. How? There's over 100, close to 150 times that He tells us this. that if we obey His statutes and His commandments and His judgments that He gives us for our good because He loves us, that we will be blessed. And how on earth can billions of people today claim they know Yahweh, claim that they're followers, you know, of quote-unquote Jesus, and say that law is nailed to the cross? What kind of evil spirit is in these people? When even in the New Testament, Matthew 7, the angels come and take everyone out of the kingdom, causing lawlessness. That somehow this lawless spirit that has pervaded our society. I said it before, Christianity is the most dangerous religion on earth because it is bringing people directly to the lake of fire. Directly to the rebellious spirit of Satan that got us in this problem to begin with. Serious stuff though. And very clear he says, life and death, you know, life is in the Torah. Life is in the Torah. But if we go to the book of John, John 1 and verse 17, because on the other end we're seeing that the same problems the early believers had, we're seeing today there are men that are Judaizing our congregations, trying to get people to do all the Jewish traditions, wearing the kippah, the sun cap, which is from paganism, doing these things on Friday evening where the women are waving the hands and calling spirits into their life and into their homes. And they don't realize they're going out from the pot into the frying pan. They're not realizing that Judaism is just as pagan as Christianity, filled with the same paganism. You know? And why? Why? When the Father is calling you out of a religious spirit, why would you want to go from one religious spirit to another religious spirit? And get it straight. All three major religions in the world today, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, they are all man-made religions from the second century onward. None of them were in the time of Yeshua. The things the Jewish people are doing today were not the things that they were doing in the first century, at least most of them. Some of the traditions were. But most of them come from Rabbi Akiva in modern Judaism from the second century. So, choosing Torah is not choosing Jewish tradition. That's not Torah. Torah is what's written and very clearly in the book of Joshua, in the book of Deuteronomy. What did he say? All the words that Yahweh gave were written in the book. Never talks about an oral tradition. You know, never says that there were secret things that were given to the rabbis behind the people back. But it's Torah that chooses life. But, like we said, Torah is a lamp to my feet. Torah teaches me right from wrong. But Torah doesn't change the heart. Torah cannot change the heart. If we go to John 1:17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yeshua Messiah." The Torah was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yeshua Messiah. And we know that the Torah cannot save you. Why can't the Torah save you? We talked about it. Because every one of us is a sinner sold under sin. We're all lawbreakers. So how can we reap the benefit where it says blessings and cursings, life and death? You know, if you do these things, you'll be blessed. If you don't do these things, you'll be cursed. And each one of us have done the things for cursings. So how can we go back to Yahweh and ask for the blessings? And that's the reason why salvation cannot come from the Torah, because each one of us are breakers of the Torah. But now that we get this new spirit, now that we're immersed in His name, now that we have laying on of hands, now that we have His spirit in us, we become part of the Yahweh family, out of faith with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we should be trying to obey Him. But remember, when you come up out of that water of baptism, you're still 99% cardinal and 1%, you know, set apart. So it's going to take time. And in the meantime, as you're learning the heart and the mind and the soul of Yahweh, the Torah is there as a guide to you. The Torah is a tutor to teach you, to bring you into the truth. But it was never meant for salvation. The Torah came from Moses. Grace and truth came from Yeshua with Messiah. Only by the blood of Messiah can your sins be forgiven. When you look, like we said, in the Old Covenant, whether it was idolatry, blasphemy, murder, or adultery, those four things could not be forgiven under the Old Covenant. The penalty for them was death. And when Yeshua came and magnified the Torah, what did He show us? That in our hearts and in our minds, every one of us have committed those sins. He showed us each one of us was under a death penalty, and only His blood, His eternal sacrifice, could cover those things. But Galatians 3 and verse 21, Galatians 3 and verse 21 says, is the Torah then against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have come by the Torah. If it was that easy, if the Father just could have given a law that we could have kept to get eternal life, he would have did it. But it's not that easy. And that's what we said. That the weakness in the Torah is what? Sin. Sin is the weakness in the Torah. And we know that the Torah is holy, just, and good, as we're going to read, but we are cardinal, sold unto sin. So that's the weakness of the Torah, is the Torah cannot change your heart. And that's why, what did Yeshua tell his disciples? If I go to the Father, what? I will send a comforter down to you. And the Holy Spirit in our life now is supposed to be there to help us discern the Torah. And this week we're going to be going over this, you know. We're going to be going over all these different things in the Torah and how to understand the spirit of the Torah. How to look at it through the Holy Spirit to understand the spirit of the Torah. Because that's really what we're supposed to be doing. You know, 1 Corinthians 5 says, you know, we're going to be judging cherubs. And can't we even judge in the smallest matters? So it's important, the choices we make, but I say it's not like a switch. You can't turn it on and off. Every decision in our life should be toward Yahweh. Every decision in our life should be based on His Word. Because again, every decision you make is what? Either taking you toward the kingdom or away from the kingdom. Let's go to Romans 7. Romans 7. We'll start to see the importance of this, because you know something? You have an enemy that you don't even realize how bad that enemy is. You have an enemy that is trying to stop you from obeying the Torah. You have an enemy that is going to trick you in every single way to bring you into the world. And you know, if I were to say, who is this enemy? Probably most would say Satan the devil, right? Well, he's a pretty good enemy, and he's the enemy of enemies, but he's not the enemy I'm talking about. Like the old expression, we found the enemy, and the enemy was us. You are the enemy. You are the enemy, because like I said, you come out of those waters of immersion, and you're 99% worldly there and 1% spiritual. And it's a battle. And you have a battle every day. And you know what? When you're around a person that's evil, or a person that's not of the spirit of Yahweh, it's pretty easy, right? You just get away from that person. We've had that happen before. We met people that were just totally wicked. We said, man, we don't want to be near this person anymore. But how do you get rid of yourself? How do you get rid of yourself? And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what Yeshua meant, that you have to die to the flesh daily. You're going to have to learn how to kill yourself. And it's a hard thing. And if you're not realizing it, if you're not realizing the schizophrenia that's in each and every one of us, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. You know why? Because the evil one in you is telling you how good you are. The evil one in you doesn't want to die. And he's telling you, hey, don't listen to what that guy's saying. Don't listen to him. Come on, you know how good you are. Hey, don't you have to go to the bathroom? Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to these words. And you got to be taunted by this every day of your life. Unless you shut him up. You got to shut that guy up. And you got to kill him. It's the only way you're going to survive is if you kill him. Romans 7 and verse 7. And we'll see from the Apostle Paul. He says, what then shall we say? Is the law sin? Is the Torah sin? Let it not be. Yahweh forbid. But I did not know sin except through the Torah. For also I did not know lust except the Torah said you shall not lust. So again, the fact that the Torah can't change your heart. Nothing bad with the Torah, you know. But he says, what the Torah is there for is not salvation. The Torah is there to teach us right from wrong. How would I have known sin? Except the Torah told me what sin was. So what does that tell you? In the world, for the people saying the Torah is nailed to the cross, how do they know what sin is? By their own hearts. I'm judging what's my heart. Well, you know what I feel in my heart? And you know what Scripture says, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Satan has these people right where he wants them. Because they're all judging from the heart. And what did we say when we talked about proper judgment? 90% of the time you judge by your heart, you're going to make the wrong decision. And Satan is what? He's the prince of the power of the airwaves, and he's the master at manipulating your feelings. What does he do? He shows on TV, he gets one of these corrupt ministries. These corrupt ministries. And they'll show this poor little boy in Africa with the belly sticking out and not eating food, and tears come down out of your eyes, right? And before you know it, you're sending a $1,000 check. Not realizing that $5 of that might go to these poor people in Africa, and $995 of your money is going to this guy's Cadillac and going to this guy's mansion and all the other stuff he does. Feelings. Satan will use feelings to manipulate you. But the Torah is there for what? The Torah is there to tell you what sin is. What does 1 John 3, 4 say? What is sin? The breaking of the Torah. This is New Testament stuff. What is the penalty for breaking the Torah? Romans 6, 23. The wages of sin is death. So this is all New Testament stuff. This isn't Old Testament. This is New Testament. After you're already immersed in the name of Yeshua, after you're a covenant person, sin is still sin, and death is still death. And the wages of sin is still death. Hebrews 10:26, if you willfully sin after the full knowledge of the truth, there isn't even a sacrifice from Yeshua anymore. Because we're shaming His sacrifice. Hebrews 10:26-32. And it says, at the law of Moses, if somebody died by two or three witnesses, how much more will be the penalty? Somebody taking the sacrifice of Yeshua and putting Him to open shame, saying the Torah is nailed to a cross. I can do whatever I want. I have liberty to do whatever I want. How dare they? How dare they? And He will not put His sacrifice there for open shame, for people to abuse it by sin. And we're seeing here. Let's drop down to verse 9. And look what he says. He says, I was alive apart from the law once, but the commandment came and sin came alive and I died. Isn't that all of us? Didn't we all think we were alive in the world? There's no God in heaven. I can do what I want. But what happens? You know? You get convicted, and the Torah is the thing that convicts us. But the commandment came, and sin came alive, then I died. And the commandment which was to life, this was found to be death to me. Right? These commandments, they're holy, just, and good, but they're not when you break them. And that's what I say. Why can't salvation come through the Torah? Because we're all offenders and breakers of the Torah. And blessings only come for obedience, and cursings only come for disobedience. And each one of us have been disobedient. Nobody has kept it perfectly. So the commandment which was life, this was found to be death to me. For sin taking occasion through the commandment deceived me, and through it killed me. And that's what I say. Why couldn't Yeshua sin when He was a human being? Technically He could have. He was flesh and blood, just like you and me. But the reason why He couldn't sin is because sin is a deception. Every time we sin, we're not sinning thinking, I want to hurt myself. A person doesn't go out and sin. Someone doesn't rob a bank saying, oh, I'm going to rob this bank so the cops get me and put me in prison behind bars. No, they're sinning because they think they're getting something for nothing. You're lying because, oh, they won't find out the real truth. Sin is a deception. But in the end, what happens? It's going to come and slew you. Every time. Choices. You may think that choice isn't going to catch up with you, but sooner or later it will. For sin taking occasion through the commandment deceived me, and through it killed me. Yeshua could not be deceived by sin, because he is the Word. He is the Word. There's no way Satan can deceive Him through the Word. Although he did try. So indeed, the Torah is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Then that which is good, has it become death to me? Let it not be. But sin, that it might appear to be sin, having worked out death to me through the good, in order that sin might become excessively sinful through the commandment. For we know that the law is spiritual, and I am fleshly, having been sold under sin. That's what he said. It's all working out for the good. You know, because what did it show him? This sin that entered his life, as evil as it was, and as much as it brought a penalty, what did it also show him? It showed him the need for the redemption through Yeshua Messiah. Remember Job? Remember the story of Job? What was Job's problem? Job's problem was he was too good. He was a righteous man. A little bit too righteous. He didn't see the need for redemption until Yahweh showed him. And that's the key. You know, remember in Luke when the woman came in, Yeshua was with the Pharisee's house, and the woman came in and she was cleaning his feet with her hair and crying, and The Pharisee sits there and thinks to himself, man, if he was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. And what does Yeshua say? You know, he says to the man, you know, that there's a person that owned 500 denarii and there's a person that owned five. And both of them were forgiven. Who do you think would be more grateful? The one who was forgiven most. And that's what he said. He who is forgiven much has much love. He who is forgiven little has little love. And in a world where we all think we're good, you know, in the West, where people think they're good, well, you know, I'm pretty good. I've never killed anybody. How on earth can we ever really see the love the Messiah had in the sacrifice of His blood? But I'll tell you one thing. When sin becomes exceedingly sinful, like Paul said, and your life, and you come to the truth, and you know what's in you, man, there's no way Satan could ever deceive you again. That's what I say. It doesn't matter if we have 10,000 people here, because I know Don, and I know what's in Don. And I know where Don came from, and I know where Don will be tomorrow without Yahweh. So there's no way he's going to get into me, because I know what I am. I know what my nature is. And I know without Yahweh, there is no good in me. You give me 24 hours without His Spirit, and I'm telling you, you won't want to see Don. And it's so true. It's so true, and you read it here, and Paul is saying it. You know, it is so true that the Torah is there, it can teach us right and wrong, but it's the Spirit that has to change the heart. The Spirit's got to change the heart. Let's drop down to verse 15 now. Verse 15, and look what Paul says. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the chief of the apostles, right? One of the powers of the New Testament. Look what he says about himself. For what I work out, I do not know. For what I do not desire, this I do. But what I hate, this I do. But if I do what I do not desire, I agree with the Torah that it is good. But now I no longer work it out, but the sin dwelling in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good. For to desire is present in me, but to work out the good, I do not find. For what good I desire, I do not. But the evil that I do not desire, this I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no longer I working it out, but the sin dwelling in me. I find then a law that when I desire to do the right, that evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Yahweh according to the inward man, according to the Spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and taking me captive by the law of sin being in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank Yahweh through Yeshua, Messiah, our Master. So then, I myself with the mind truly serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And when you're looking in the book of Romans, and he's talking about the law, you have to figure out what law is he talking about. Is he talking about the Torah of Yahweh or the law of sin and death for breaking it? Two totally different things here. But here the Apostle Paul said it. And if every one of us is honest with ourselves, we would say the same thing. And the problem is, we're not admitting this to ourselves every day. And we're not fighting that evil human nature that's inside of us. We're doing the opposite. We're lifting up this human nature. We're thinking we're so good. We're patting ourselves on the back. And you know what? At least we're not like these Sunday keepers, right? Shame on us. Shame on us. Because you know the reality of it? Many of those Sunday keepers are more righteous than the Sabbath keepers. And I'll be all honest. And I love Yahweh's people. I keep the Torah with all my heart. I believe in these things with all my heart. But if my faith had only come by the people, I would think there's a big problem here. Because I find a lot more love in Sunday churches than I do in Sabbath churches. And if that was the only thing I was judging on, I'd have a big problem. But I know it's not the only thing. And I know it's not Yahweh's fault that many of His people, you know, are not fighting the flesh, that they're becoming self-righteous through these things. I say, even with the Sabbath, the minute we start taking glory to ourselves for keeping it, you've lost the blessing. The blessing is giving the glory to the Creator of it. And being under His protection and His shadow today. That's the glory of the Sabbath day. And there ain't a person on this earth that would ever get me to change that. But the minute I start saying how glorious I am for keeping it, I've lost the blessing. Lost the blessing. And we have to realize this. If we want to go to that next level, why do we have so much confusion in our congregations? Why is there so much disunity? because we're not realizing this. We are not realizing the evil human nature that's still inside of each and every one of us. And it has nothing to do with the Torah. The Torah is a book that teaches me right from wrong. They're principles of right and wrong. But it's the Spirit that's going to change my heart. It's the Spirit that's going to give me the ability to keep the Torah. So if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to kill the old Don daily, I'm never going to get to that point. I will never get to the point of keeping the Spirit of the law. And what did Yeshua say? When he said, not one letter, you know, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law, right? So we know the law is there, no doubt about that. But what did he also say after that? Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes, you will not see the kingdom. The scribes kept it in the letter. You know, if we're only keeping the Torah in the letter, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We have to start keeping the Spirit of the Torah. You know, look at the Shemitah year, perfect example. Jewish people here, by the letter, what did they do? They took all their land that they're supposed to rest, sell it to an Arab for a dollar. Haha, we got over Yahweh now. Now it's not our land. Technically, according to the letter, it's an Arab's land. You don't get over on Yahweh. Choices, choices. You reap what you sow. You think Yahweh's going to bless them? You think those stories that are in the Jewish oral law, the Talmud, that ha ha ha, my sons have defeated me, you think they're true? No way. No way. Man does not defeat Yahweh. Man doesn't defeat Yahweh. And what we have to do, like Paul is saying, we have to die to the flesh daily. This is what it means. It means recognizing that person that's in you. And like I said, the funny part is, we go around the room, each one of you can tell what each one's spiritual gifts are. And most of us don't know ourselves, right? And each one can tell what that person needs to work on. And most of us don't see it ourselves. But we got to start working on it. Pride, vanity, gossip, selfishness, all these things that we're bringing, not only week by week, but year by year. We're getting to the point that Yeshua is returning. The bride is white without spot or wrinkle. And we don't have 20 or 30 or 50 years left to get there. Choices that you're going to make from this day on. Choices that you're going to, when you leave here. And I'm telling you, a program like this is fantastic because it's a springboard. It's a springboard that can help you start on that next level. But unless you make those choices, unless you say, I am going to do this, and now you have all the tools to do it, your life will go on and be the same as before. You have to make those choices. And according to the choices, where are you going to be? Our human nature is evil. Yahweh will save through putting on us the nature of Yeshua. But apart from the Holy Spirit, we don't have the capability of doing this. Romans 8. Go over a couple of chapters over to Romans 8. Look what it says about the cardinal mind. Look what it says about our human nature, the cardinal mind. Verse 7. Romans 8 and verse 7. It says, because of this, the mind of the flesh is hatred toward Yahweh. It is not subject to the Torah of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Yahweh. So all these people out there, I say, this is the litmus test of whether someone has the Holy Spirit. Anybody that's telling you the law is nailed to the cross, out of their own mouth, by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. I'm not judging them, they're judging themselves. If you say Yahweh's Torah is done away with, you're telling me I don't have the Holy Spirit. Because it's the human nature that hates His law. And when His Spirit is in you, what does it do? It transforms that human nature into His love. So somebody that's saying that law and His evil law, they're saying that Yahweh and that evil Yahweh. That's what they're saying, because His law is His character. And Yahweh is love, and His law is love. I give you these laws today for your good. And it's the Spirit. The Spirit is the thing that changes the transformation. Matthew 10, 38 and 39. Matthew 10, 38 and 39. Matthew 10, 38 and 39. And whoever does not take up his stake and follow me, he is not worthy of me. The one finding his soul shall lose it, and the one losing his soul on account of me shall find it. It is a lifelong 100% commitment. Like I said, that's the problem in the West, that people, they're looking at, like we said, everything works in patterns of threes. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies, water baptism, spirit baptism, baptism of fire. And what do you have? You have sanctification or justification, sanctification, glorification. You know, what is the justification? The outer court, the Passover, the blood of Yeshua. But the covenant relationship, what do you have to do? You have to be a priest. You've got to come into the inner court. Shavuot, the giving of the Torah. You know, you got to be able to believe it. And what does the Torah do? It sanctifies us. Blood of Yeshua justifies us, but the Torah sanctifies us. It sets us apart from the world. You're meeting on Saturday, they're all meeting on Sunday. You're eating this, they're all eating that. They're all doing the ways of the world, you're being set apart from it. But if you want to be glorified, you've got to go into the Holy of Holies. Got a real good tape on this called Many Are Called, Few Are Chosen, Few Are Faithful. It's on our website. If you want to go to the glorification, and the glorification is shedding these bodies, it's where that human nature can actually be dead forever and putting on a glorious spiritual body. You know, you got to die to the flesh. You've got to die to the flesh daily. You've got to fight your nature every day. Every time you get a thought that's not good, every time you're thinking something bad about somebody else, you got to take every thought into captivity. You got to rebuke it and know that it's not from Yahweh. When you're going to say something that's a piece of gossip or something else, Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua, I rebuke you, Satan. Say the words, because it is Satan that's doing it in your mind. Don't give him a foothold. And I've seen it in beautiful congregations. I've seen that something will come in, and you know in the end, you don't even know what it is. It's not even a real problem. Something is perceived by this one or that, and I thought he thought this of me, and I thought he thought that of that, and before you know it, it's going around, and there's all this bad spirit from nothing. You can't even pinpoint where it came from. A lot of times, fights are like that with people. After a day or two, you're wondering what you've been fighting over. You can't even figure it out anymore, where it started. And it's a spirit that you've got to stop it in the beginning. Whenever you're feeling angry, whenever you're feeling something wrong, every day we wake up should be with praise. Praise you, Yahweh, another day. Praise you, Yahweh, thank you for this life. And no matter what's happening, we got to keep it in perspective. We can't allow, we must die to the flesh, must allow conditioning of environment, most allow conditioning of environment to make decisions instead of the Holy Spirit through the Torah. And it's a problem. People are allowing peer pressure from relatives, friends, maybe even spouses and children, whatever it is. You can't allow peer pressure to make your decisions. It's got to be the Holy Spirit through the Torah. Because, you know, when you look in most of the world, and especially in the West, what most of these people think is normal, what do we say? It's abominable to Yahweh. Abortion is a woman's right. Killing 50 to 70 million children a year. It's unthinkable to think about. I mean, we have these people that have anti-abortion, pregnancy crisis center. You know, gave us a book. And you wouldn't believe these children, the face is cut in half. These are babies. 50 to 70 million. And they're going to say it's a woman's right. Right there has got to say, they're... Stop the planet, let me off. Something is wrong here. I mean, man, we're talking about right and wrong, but now we're talking about the most innocent thing in the world, babies, that we're killing 50 to 70 million and saying it's just a woman's right. A woman has a right to do what she wants with her own body. I say, okay, so if I take a woman's body and swing it around and kill you, is that okay? Oh, that's different. They're impeding on my right. What about the right of the most innocent thing on earth? A little tiny baby that has no say. And we'll do this. And in Satan's world, we're allowing these people out there to influence us. And we can't let it be. You got to stick to the Torah. You got to stick to the Word. No matter what anybody says. We got to be zealous for that. 90% of your battle is your environment. 90% of the battle is your environment. And that's one of the big problems. People are not putting themselves in conducive environments to be a real believer. And you know, we know hard times are coming. You know, we have our class underground congregation. We know even in a lot of parts of the world, man, you go to North Korea, they don't have freedom of movement. But most of us, and particularly I think all of us here, do have freedom of movement. That we could. We could move, we could do things, and there could be 100 reasons why not to do something. But I say, I know in my life, the most important thing in my life is making that kingdom. I mean, I can't think of the torture to live in this world all these years and then not make the kingdom. Oh, what torture that would be. And if I got to move out of my area, if I got to move out of my country, if I got to leave my family, leave a job, whatever it is, I am going to do whatever I have to do to put myself in an environment that's conducive to keeping the Torah. I mean, there's people that they'll stay there and they'll tell me, well, this person, my neighbor or my mother-in-law, whatever it is, she's torturing me over the Sabbath. And it's like, get up and go. Get up and go. Move over here. You know, we got believers all around America that are scattered. Good believers, good, honest people. Band together. Move to the same area. Build congregations. This is what's going to get us to the next spot. Choices. Choices. The choices you make today will be where you're going to be tomorrow. Some of the choices are physical and some of them are spiritual. But I'm telling you, a lot of this can come down to our eternal life. Because you know what happens when you don't make choices? You're living in Satan's world. They're made for you. And you will just roll along with the flow and you will get pushed and moved and manipulated to everywhere you don't want to be. And then you know what happens? Your whole life becomes one of self-defense. You know, I don't know. I think people here are probably, I'm not a big soccer fan, but I've seen soccer games. I don't know much about the sport, to be honest. But I've seen one thing. I've seen the people who control the ball, they're the ones that are manipulating where the game goes. You know, so I've seen one team for like 10 minutes will have the ball and swing it around, and the other team can't get it. So what is that team? They're all defensive. And then all of a sudden it will turn around. But we got to be that way. We got to be offensive. We got to set up parameters in our life so that we're not always being defensive believers. So that we're bringing it to Satan in the world. He's not giving it to us. And those things are things we can control. We can control where we live. We can control, not completely, but for the most part, the people that are around us. We can control what comes into our mind, what books you're reading, what internet you're watching, what television you're looking at, what DVDs you're doing. These are all things that you can control in your life. And there are choices for every one of them. I can't tell you how many times when we're talking with parents, with kids, that they're telling us, and I don't know why, my daughter or my son is having these nightmares. And when you look down to it, it comes to bad TV watching. Some kind of movies that are being watched, horror movies or something else. Because you know what? For children, it's not just coming there from nothing. Something, or all of us, something brings it. Something triggers our dreams and our, you know, what's in the recesses of our mind. You know, and whatever is coming in is whatever is going out. And you can control. You can control not everything. But you can control 80 to 90% of your environment. And again, the choices you make are going to depend on the person you are. Because these are things that it's not just decisions that are based on blessing and cursing. Literally, it's who you are. The people you're with. The places you go to. The things you're reading. The things you're watching. These are all the person that you become. And everything that comes in is what's going to go out. And I'm telling you, we have something through the Holy Spirit that we can overcome. We can be overcomers. But if all the stuff coming into us is from the world, what's going to happen? We're going to be part of it. And look at what Yahweh says. 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and verse 15. First John 2 and verse 15 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all which is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever." The one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. So we see how much love do we have for the world? You know, or are we just getting nudged, we just getting pushed into these things that we don't want? You know, 1 Corinthians 15:33, could write it down. I won't go there. But it says, bad communications ruin good habits. Bad communications ruin good habits. And I said this in our leadership class, that most of my life I owned my own business, but whenever I worked a job, the first thing that was important to me was even more than the money, was who am I going to be working with? You know, because the people around me are going to affect me and I'm going to affect them. And if I was around people that I didn't want to be near, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit here all day and listen to these four-letter words and this other stuff. I'm not going to put myself in that environment. There's times, like we said, underground congregation, you don't have a choice. But I'm certainly not going to put myself there. And all these things in our life of who we are, we have to think about. We have to think about the decisions. You know, and just like I said, you look at the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, exactly what Satan deceived Adam and Eve with, right? It was pleasant to look at. Knowledgeable to make one wise. You know, same thing. Same thing that Satan deceived Adam and Eve. Bad communications ruin good habits. Who are you palling around with? You know, my first question when I go to Genesis is, what on earth is Adam and Eve doing with Satan? What are they palling around with the serpent for? Bad communications ruin good habits. You know, who was in charge there? Adam. He could have very easily said, get thee behind me, Satan, you are an offense. Why are they even talking? Why are they even talking to this serpent? Many times, you know, we want to touch the fire. We want to see how far we can go to touching that fire before getting burned. And it's not a good way to look at things. It really isn't. You know? I'll see somebody will bring a DVD or something from somebody that you say, wow, you realize this guy that believes this? Oh, I know he believes, you know, that Yeshua was a Martian, but wow, he's got this real good teaching on 13 things of water in Hebrew. It's like, wow, you got to be kidding me. You know? Or people that don't even believe in Shabbat, don't even believe in the commandments. And somebody wants to give me a book to read it? I'll burn it. I'll burn it. I don't want to read a book by somebody that 150 times obey the commandments, and you're giving me something from somebody who doesn't even have the premise, and he's saying he's a leader? Forget about it. I don't want to hear what he has to say. You know, what are we bringing into our mind? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. The Torah is the tree of life. There's nothing bad in it. It's only good. Go to the Torah, and every time you're going to come out with a good answer. Go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's like rolling the dice. Sometimes it may work out okay. Sometimes it won't. But in the end, it never will. In the end, it never will. I look at the richest people physically on the earth today, and they're the most miserable. Broken families, you know, all kinds of stress. You never see happiness in their face. You know, you really want to depress yourself? Go to a banker's meeting. Been there before, you know. People aren't happy. You know, they're not happy. And what their life is. And decisions that come. Let's go to Galatians 6. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians 6. Starting in verse 6. Says, but let the one being taught in the word share with the one teaching in all good things. Do not be deceived. Yahweh is not mocked, for whatever a man may sow, that he will also reap. For the one sowing to his flesh will reap corruption of the flesh, but the one sowing to the Spirit will reap everlasting life with the Spirit. So my next question is, you know, tomorrow we're going to be going to the biblical garden. They're going to be teaching us from shepherds to farmers. You know, we're going to see the difference of turning from a shepherd to a farmer. And I asked today, what seeds are you sowing? What seeds are you sowing? Right here. The word cannot be broken. Yahweh will not be mocked. For whatever a man may sow, this he will reap. For the one sowing to the flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. I mean, we're probably not all farmers, but I think all of us, I've had gardens my whole life, and I know if I put an eggplant seed in the ground, you know, I know an olive tree isn't going to pop up. I know if I plant tomatoes, I'm not going to get potatoes. What are the seeds? What seeds are you planting? You come out of the world, you find out the glorious calling that Yahweh has as a Melchizedek priest. You find out what it is to be a first fruit, a million to one. Now, what kind of seeds are you going to plant? And you all have it. We talked about this the other night. You all have a goal now to go and make fruit. But the first thing you have to do is plant a seed. The fruit is the last part of it, but the first thing you have to do is plant the seed. The longest road to any journey starts with the first step. Like I say, choices that you make. But whatever you're going to plant is what's going to come up. And I'm telling you, with time being short, the harvest is going to come quicker. And there is a great harvest out there. And the Father is giving an invitation to each one of us to be part of that harvest. To be part of that work of bringing more people into salvation. It's just a matter of taking the calling. Galatians 5. We're right near there, one chapter back. Verses 16 and 17. It says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, lest whatever you will, these things you will do." And this is the scary part of Christianity. It's a whole religion based on feeling. They put the Torah out the window. They basically burned it. They're making decisions based on their heart, which they're claiming is the Holy Spirit, which they don't have, because they prove they don't have it. Because if you hate the Torah, you can't have the Holy Spirit. Yahweh has one Spirit, and the Spirit is not against itself. And this is the scary part. But how many things in our life are we deceiving ourselves the same way? You know, we made our list out of our priorities. How many things are you doing every week? For yourself, for your work, for this, for that. And how many things for Yahweh? Because these are all the seeds. And if all the seeds are only being planted in physical things, what's going to happen? You're going to reap physical things. So the fact that you might have a nice house, you might have a nice car, you might have nice clothing, what do you get for that on Judgment Day? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Whatever you plant is what's going to grow. And it takes time to grow. Tomatoes take about 90 days. A little bit longer even. You know, it doesn't grow overnight. I don't know any plant that just grows overnight unless Yahweh does a miracle. So whatever you're planting is what's going to come up. Let's go to John 4. John 4. A little longer before we finish. Verse 31. John 4 and verse 31. "But in the meantime, the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, eat." John 4, 31. "But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Then the disciples said to one another, no one brought him food to eat. Yeshua said to them, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me, and that I may finish his work. Do not say it is yet 4 months and the harvest comes. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and behold the fields, for they are already white to harvest. And the one reaping receives rewards and gathers fruit to everlasting life, so that both the one sowing and the one reaping may rejoice together. For in this the word is true, that another is the one sowing and another the one reaping. I sent you to reap what you have not labored over. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." And that's what we're seeing in the congregation. What did I say? Every single congregation from the days of Yeshua until today sacrificed something for the next generation to be there. And now us, the last generation, we're going to be reaping all the things that they sowed for all these many generations. There's a great harvest and there's not enough people to fill that harvest. So the Father's saying, here it is. It's wide open. The jobs are many. All you have to do is say yes. Decisions got to be based on our commitment to Yahweh. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Proverbs 4. Verse leave you with some things to think about in the coming days. Proverbs 4 and verse 10. It says, O my son, hear and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right tracks, or the right paths. When you go, your path shall not be narrowed, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. She is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not go in the way of evildoers. Avoid it, and do not pass by it. Turn from it, and pass on. So here's the Father saying, you know, seek the right paths. Seek the right paths. He's taught us wisdom. He's telling us, as a father tells his child, go in that narrow path. Seek the right paths. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. Verse 13. Jeremiah 6 and verse 13. It says, For everyone from the least of them even to the greatest of them cuts off a prophet. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the break of my people, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they made an abomination? Like we said, are they ashamed that they're for abortion? People proudly say, Oh yeah, I believe in a woman's right to choose. You know, I believe in infanticide. I believe in murdering children. Were they ashamed when they said these things? They were not at all ashamed. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know to blush. So they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I visit them, they shall be cast down, says Yahweh. Homosexual parades, all these things. No shame whatsoever. So says Yahweh, stand by the ways and seek. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. And they said, We will not walk in it. Also I said, Watchmen over you, saying, Listen to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, We will not listen. So hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, that which is coming on them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil on this people, the fruit of their thoughts. For they have not listened to my words, and my Torah, they have rejected it. And like I said, you don't have to be a genius. If you look at the immorality today that's out there, to know either if Yahweh's there, man, this has got to be coming soon. Because there's no society that ever lived, including Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, that was much worse than we have today. You got to know. And he's saying, seek the old paths. Seek the old paths. What does it say in Malachi? What happens in the end time? Remember the law of my servant Moses that I gave at Horeb. These are the old paths. These are the things that were there from the beginning. His Torah, this is from the Garden of Eden. That his Torah was fully understood and it was there and everything worked. And he's telling us in the end times, seek for these paths. Don't go the way of the world. Don't go the way of this globalization. Don't go the way of world democracy. Seek the old paths, but most people saying we will not. Deuteronomy 4. Last scripture we'll go over. Deuteronomy 4. And verse 26. Deuteronomy 4, 26. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land to which you go over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days on it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the people, and you shall be left few in number among the nations to which Yahweh shall lead you away. And this is exactly what happened to Israel, to our forefathers, which brought us to where we are today. And there you shall serve other deities, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which you cannot see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. Exactly what our forefathers came from. And if you shall seek Yahweh your Elohim from there, then you shall find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. In your distress, when all these things have found you, in the latter days, then you shall return to Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall listen to his voice. How great. Like it says, Jeremiah 16, we've inherited lies from our forefathers. And now the last generation, he's calling us out of all this, and we're listening to his voice. For Yahweh your Elohim is a merciful Elohim. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. For ask now of the days past. Ask the old paths, which were before you, since the day that Yahweh created man on the earth, and from the one end of the heavens to the other end of the heavens, whether there has been a thing as great as this, or anything like it, has been heard. Drop down to verse 39. Know today and lay it in your heart that Yahweh, He is Elohim in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. And you shall keep His statutes and His commandments, which I am commanding you today, so that it may be well with you and with your sons after you, and so that you may prolong your days on the earth, which Yahweh your Elohim is giving to you all the days. So how awesome. How awesome. We're fulfilling, we're part of this promise of all these thousands of years ago, that this promise is being fulfilled today, this prophecy, right in our ears. And again, what got us in the trouble to begin with? Was it the Torah? Absolutely not. Sin. Sin, disobedience, like Adam and Eve. And the day you eat that fruit, you shall die. Faith is believing that Yahweh is, and He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Faith is believing that everything Yahweh said is perfect, and everything that Yahweh says is true. And we have to decide whether we believe that. And if we do, then we're going to follow His word in faith. Each one of you will be leaving next week. Each one will have many choices to make from what you've learned the past month. Each decision is going to help to mold the person you will become. Each decision will either take you closer to Yahweh or take you further away. Every day of our life is like the Garden of Eden all over again. Each one of us is like Adam and Eve and has to choose daily whether we will live from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which leads to death, or whether we will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh and take from the tree of life. So the last scripture that I'll say, 1 Corinthians 10:31, the second part, whatever you do, do to the glory of Yahweh.